It certainly is good that we can be here this morning to worship our Heavenly Father for everything that He's done for us. It's good to see Sister Pat back with us. It's good to have visitors. We're glad you came to be with us. And in talking with Kenny before this service, he had mentioned that his cancer has spread to his shoulder now, so we need to be praying for him. The doctors will be able to correct that. So I have a question before we get into the lesson this morning. Are you ready to go home? Are you ready to go home? And I don't mean leave right now and go home for lunch, but are you ready to go home? Do you feel like you've worked in the vineyard enough that you've got your work done? And if Christ returns, or if we were to die, that we have done everything that we can for the Lord. With our gospel meeting coming up 10 days from now, I thought it would be good to consider again the importance of gospel meetings. And Chris read three verses in 1 Corinthians 15. I want to start there and read a little bit more. In verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas and then by 12. After that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that He was seen by James and all the apostles. Then last of all He was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." The gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the great revelation of how we can be reconciled to God again. When we stop and think about the Christians in the first century and when they assembled for a variety of reasons and times. Acts 2, 42 and 46. There was a time when they assembled in the temple daily to give heed to the apostles' doctrine. We see in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 3 sermons as models, and we can conclude from those models that they dwelt upon foundational principles, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So with those foundational principles, one of the things that we see is that man needs a Savior, and Christ is our Savior. And the plan of salvation clearly sets that forth. When honest hearts hear that, they are going to be stirred to change their lives for better. Hopefully they will accept it. And when that gospel was preached to others, some of them would harden their hearts. And they even persecuted those who preached it. So the preachers in the New Testament face some different challenges than we face today. They were courageous and untiring in their efforts. They were willing to suffer affliction, endure hardness as a soldier of Christ. Their labors were not always met with appreciation. Mark was discouraged and he went home for a time. Demas quit altogether. And the preaching did not always lead to obedience. Sometimes the audience became angry. Sometimes they beat the preacher. Sometimes they tried to stone him to death. At times he was ridiculed. Paul was called a babbler at Athens, and his message thought strange. And the smart people of the time thought that Paul's preaching was foolishness. Foolishness. But friends, we have the job of preaching the gospel today. And our job of proclaiming the gospel will not end until Jesus returns or we die. But when Jesus returns to take him home, have we done everything that we can to share that message with others? So let's consider, remind ourselves, some of the reasons why it is important to have gospel meetings. And in doing this, we can reset our goals and focus our aims on those to help make our meeting more effective. So these are all going to be foundational principles. But again, so many times, I'm not a sports buff, but I've heard many times the games that are won and lost, they're lost because they don't follow the basics. And we must understand the basics and follow the basics to win. So one of the most basic things, faith comes by hearing. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and beginning at verse 13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." If we want people to have faith, they've got to hear the gospel. We need to invite them to hear it. What was the means that God used to create faith in someone to reach their hearts? It was through preaching the gospel. And we preach the gospel in meetings or one-on-one or any other time or in the home for the purpose of creating, building, and strengthening faith. That's why we do it. Plain and simple, basic. Another reason it is important to have gospel meetings is to save the lost. No one can be saved without faith. John 8:24, Mark 16:15 and 16. So we preach the gospel to save the lost. That's one of the primary reasons that we have in every gospel meeting is to win the lost. Even though there are fewer non-Christians attending, there are still non-Christians attending. And I expect there to be some here when we have ours. I'm confident of it. I know we have invited so many people. Jim passed out flyers a couple Friday nights ago, or last Friday night at the event. We have it posted. There are non-members that will come. Are we ready to say our work here is done and Lord, take me home? I'm not. Do I want to go to heaven? I absolutely do. But while I'm here, he's got work for us to do. Friends, family, co-workers, people we know right around us, people that we talk to all the time, they need the gospel. They are lost. People say, you know, people aren't obeying the gospel like they used to. One of the reasons, and I know there are many reasons, one of the reasons they aren't obeying the gospel is they aren't hearing the gospel. They aren't hearing the gospel. And this is an opportunity to invite and bring people. And don't just leave it at, can you come? If it's somebody close or a neighbor or somebody you work with, say, I'll give you a ride. Come with me and let's go hear what this person is going to talk about. Well, so we save the lost. Another reason we have gospel meetings is to preach to save the erring Christians who have developed an evil heart of unbelief. And most assemblies, I would say that there is probably somebody that is not living exactly as they need to. People, you can ask them. It may be about their attendance, maybe about their language, maybe about some practice they're doing. And most of them will say, well, yeah, I know, I need to work on that. I could probably be doing better. People need to come all the time and hear the gospel preached. And if we do not, the danger is that we develop that heart of unbelief. The writer of Hebrews said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Was he talking about people outside of the church? No. We know they already have an unbelieving heart. He says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. And people will say, no, I believe, I was baptized. Well, that's good. But again, Bible belief is a life of action, following through, of showing works of that belief. So we preach with the purpose of saving souls and restoring souls to the Lord. Galatians 1:6, if we are spiritual, we are to restore the one that has fallen. Do any of us know any souls that need restoring? This is an opportunity. Along with that, when people come, and it used to be more so in the past, just because more people would attend, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the lesson, but just getting someone to come that is not a member can raise all kinds of questions. They'll say, well, why don't you have a piano? Why don't you have an organ? Why don't you have a choir? Where's your kitchen? It's an opportunity to teach about things that may not come up in everyday conversation. Again, so we want to teach them. Some of those people, there may be somebody here that used to belong in a group like that, that had a piano, an organ, a choir, a kitchen, whatever it may be. And they learned the truth and they came out of it. They came out of that. And that is one of the reasons why we need to have these special efforts, these special times. And we can teach people that anytime, but this is an opportunity for us as a group to make a special effort to teach those people. Another basic reason that we have gospel meetings is to keep what we've got. To keep what we've got. I was talking to a preacher a week or so ago, and he was telling me where he had moved to where he is now, how many funerals he conducted in the first year, how many people had moved away. And friends, that's going to happen in every congregation. I said funerals and moved away. What's the other thing? People falling away. People falling away, going back into the world. We don't want to lose anybody. Every soul is more valuable than the whole world. And we need these times of encouragement to build each other up. And I would say it's probably a tradition, but we are in right now the gospel meeting season. You know, area congregations are having special efforts. There's one going on this week. If you get a chance, I would advise you to go. The information is on the bulletin board. And support the congregation, and you're built up. You're built up when you're with Christians at other places and working together, and we need to keep what we've got. We must stay strong in the faith, and the means of doing that is by continuing in God's grace. In Acts 20 and verse 32, when Paul was departing from the elders of the church at Ephesus, he said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Acts 20, 32. What's going to build us up? Is it going to be some special program? Whatever you want to think of. Ron gave me the mail this morning, and you see things from the denominations. They have all kinds of crazy man-made ideas of things to do. What is going to build us up? The word of his grace. God's word. It will build us up, and it will give us an inheritance among them which are sanctified. The teaching of the word of God's grace is what strengthens one's faith. And we preach the gospel to hold what we've already won for Christ, to keep people's faith strong, to build it up. When we have our gospel meeting, is your faith going to be made stronger? If you're sitting here surrounded by other saints and singing songs and listening to somebody different than me speak, are you going to be made stronger here? Or would you be made stronger if you stayed home and watched your favorite TV show? Or if you went shopping? Or whatever you want to fill in the blank. It makes us stronger, and we've got to keep what we've got. Some people, I don't know how to say it, but they think that they are so strong they don't need any more strengthening. And that's a foolish idea. All of us need strengthening. Another reason we need, or the importance of a gospel meeting, is for it to be a testimony to the world. The world needs to know the message that we have. What was God's message to his prophets when the world became unwilling to listen and hear his word? What did God tell them? When people stopped listening, did he say, "Just quit preaching. Don't worry about it. Just quit preaching"? No, God instructed Ezekiel to go to the hard-hearted in the house of Israel, knowing full well that when he sent that prophet, that the people would not hear. Let's look in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, and beginning in verse 7. "But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house." So what if, you know, you hear people say, well, I don't want to talk to that person. What if they look funny at me? You know, here's a textbook example of people looking funny at Ezekiel. Like Adam and stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. God, even if people aren't going to listen, it's still our responsibility to teach them the word. You think about one of the preachers that we know of that preached the longest in the Old Testament. Who would that be? Noah. How many people did he save? He only saved his house. Aren't you thankful that Noah saved his household? If Noah had not saved his household, none of us would be sitting here talking about this. The flood would have destroyed the world. Should Noah have done less preaching? So with the gospel meetings, we are not saying that gospel meetings should be the only means of reaching the lost. There's a lot of ways to do that. Home Bible studies, and I love doing home Bible studies. And you know, if you have anybody to study with, I'll be glad to come to your home, to anybody's home, and study. Correspondence courses. Some churches that have more funds do radio and television programs. We have the website started with videos on there that are good, the lessons, articles on Facebook. The bulletin is designed, you can take it and hand it out and have somebody request information or different things. Those are a few of many things to go along with a gospel meeting, and all of those work together. And some people, and I know not around here, but every so often you hear some people say, well, gospel meetings are just a waste of time. You know, it's not reaching anybody out there. But friends, even if it doesn't, all of these other reasons that we've gave are reasons to have them. To keep what we've got as a testimony to the world. When people drive by out in front of the building, we are going to have a testimony to the world when they know that we are in here studying God's Word. So these are things that go along with that. As a testimony to the world. But notice also in Ezekiel, in the same chapter, not only are we trying to save the world, but we do it to save our own souls. To save our own souls. Drop down to verse 17 in Ezekiel. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. So, What is God telling Ezekiel here? If you see somebody out there, this wicked man, and you don't say anything to him, and he dies in his wickedness, he's going to be lost, but his blood I will require at your hand. Now, you take another wicked man, and he's living wickedly, and you talk to this man, and he doesn't turn from his iniquities, and he dies. But in verse 19, but you have delivered your soul. So when people say it doesn't do any good to talk to the lost because they aren't interested, something I say over and over, when you try to save souls, the soul you save may be your own. Because if we aren't warning people, God is going to require their blood at our hand. Paul reflected the same concept when he told the elders at the church of Ephesus that he was pure from the blood of all men in Acts 20:26. Why was that? Because he had declared the whole counsel of God to them. Can we be free from the blood of men without preaching the word of God, even to those who are unwilling to hear it? No, we need to make the effort. And friends, there's really no excuse for not working. There's no excuse. Again, people offer the excuse, no one is interested in the gospel, but we can't soothe our conscience by that statement. One of the things, I mean, just looking at Ezekiel, we can't do that. That's a definite indication. Even if they don't want to hear it, we need to share it to them. Some places fall into the habit of having a gospel meeting just because, well, that's what we've always done. We've always done that. And then it just becomes a custom, a habit, or a tradition. And people really aren't focused on saving the lost, on reaching the lost, on their friends and family and neighbors and co-workers. So how do we do that? We invite them. We pray. We need to be praying. When people say nobody comes to gospel meetings, what do those people usually do? They don't invite anybody, and then they show up and say, "See, I told you nobody's coming," and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If they don't come, that's on them. If we don't ask them, that's on us. That's on us. Less preaching is the wrong answer. When we understand that the divinely ordained way to create, to build, and strengthen faith, we should see that more preaching will produce more faith. Less preaching will produce less faith. It's interesting, too, just reading books and articles about gospel meetings from several generations ago when people would come into town and set up tents and have a 7-day, 10-day, 2-week meeting. There is less interest in that today. I remember when I was in my 20s, I went with one of my buddies to a tent revival meeting somewhere. This was a denominational person where we were trying to start some conversations with somebody. But with this, it was set up at the fairgrounds, and there were a lot of people that showed up. People were interested in hearing what somebody had to say about the Bible. And it is true that people are not as interested as they used to be. So think about that for a minute, and then think about something in the physical realm. Say you like to eat fresh fish. You like to eat fresh fish. You go out and catch them, and you like to cook them and eat them. So if that's what you really like to do, and the fish aren't biting, what do? You just give up? People fish harder. They fish harder. They go more. They increase their efforts. And when people are not interested in the gospel, what are we going to do? Are we just going to give up, or do we increase our efforts? And when I say increase our efforts, some people might build up in their minds, oh, this is impossible. It's not impossible. It's just saying something to someone that you meet tomorrow. It's handing out a card, handing out a flyer. put a flyer in the mail, write a note, a personalized note on it. We'd love to have you come. We'll be glad to pick you up. Anything like that. There's much work for us to do. I know Tyler will be prepared when he comes. He's a young man. Maybe some of the younger people that you know would be more likely to come and hear him. But he is here to work with us for those 3 days, and we need to take advantage of him and have people here ready to hear the gospel. So, as I asked at the beginning of the lesson, are you ready to go home? Have we done everything that we can do to save others and to save ourselves? We have an opportunity coming up here in 10 days to do more for the Lord. And we need to be, again, inviting people, talking to people, praying for their souls, attending ourselves, and we will have a successful gospel meeting. And when the word is preached, it will not come back void to God. One of the other things about the gospel, though, it is very serious, because we are told that when Christ returns with his mighty angels in flaming fire, he's going to come back to take vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. So it's very important that we teach people, share with them what this good news is, and encourage them to obey it. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that needs to obey the gospel. If you need to obey the gospel and you don't do it, I would hate to be in your shoes because of what I just said when Christ comes back. He has withheld his vengeance. When we have seen it displayed in the Old Testament, it's just been little glimpses. But when he comes back, his vengeance will be not withheld at all. Friends, don't put it off. Don't risk your soul. Don't risk your eternity. If anybody here this morning needs to make correction in their life, if you need to obey the gospel, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.